that deals with the exemptions for religious and cultural purposes, and we allow the department and the Rastafarian community up to the 8th of March to ensure that they make their submissions. Bearing in mind that once this bill is passed by the National Assembly, it will go to the NCOP, and the whole process will start again, the process of public hearings, submissions, and the people who have made presentation to the NA, they are as well entitled to make the presentations to the processes in the NCOP. Your views, members?
Madam Chair.
Honorable Beckenbach.
Good morning, Chair. Thank you. I'm sorry, I was struggling to get admitted. Could you just briefly tell me what it is that you've just said? I missed it.
Okay. I was saying that we received a letter, which I sent to all members from Advocate Prince.
Oh, yes, of course. Okay, I get it. Yeah.
Yes. So I was generally asking that we proceed today with the responses from the department. And then we only skip that cross that part that deals with submission that deals with exemptions for religious and cultural purposes. We will deal with it after the 8th of March. We allow them time to make their submissions to the department, because even when you look at the bill, the department has left that space open, awaiting a response from the Rastafarian community. So I was proposing that we proceed with all other clauses, and then we leave that clause that deals with the exceptions, and then we will the exemptions. Then we will deal with those after the 8th of March.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with you 100%. Thank you. When you finish with Mr. Swartner, please. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Swart.
No, Chair, I'm totally in support of your view. I think it was it's an important consultation that needs to take place as well, but there will be that opportunity to consult. I just also so I support what you're saying. I also presume that Mr. Robertson will also give us feedback during his presentation on the other issues which we asked consultation about with professors and other departments about the possible negative impact on the use of cannabis on adolescents. I presume we'll get feedback during the course of today and tomorrow. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Swart, I think there's a problem with your audio. We are struggling to hear you. If you can just attend to it.
Thank you, Chair. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other view on this issue before we go to Honorable Greteberg? So we are all in agreement, members. Thank you very much, Honorable Greteberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I did mention to you previously, and I did inform Vonani, the DA has a new member on the committee. It's Mr. Engelbrecht. He's been appointed as the Shadow Minister for Correctional Services. So if possible, I'd like him to switch on his camera so I can introduce him, so you can all see what he looks like. Yeah, I know. Could you please switch on your camera and say good morning to everybody? It's Mr. Yana Engelbrecht. He's from Gauteng province.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I look very much forward to working with everyone here, and I think that it's an interesting yet busy portfolio, as I can see. But I will give my all to give a good and well thought through contribution wherever I can. Thank you very much. I look forward to it.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Egelberg, and welcome to the Portfolio Committee of Justice and Correctional Services. We are really pleased that you have joined us. We are also looking forward to be working with you and with all other members of the committee. Thank you very much, and thank you very much, Honorable Reitenbach, for bringing that to our attention, so that we can welcome the new member to our committee.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Engelberg. Mr. Robert, can you proceed? And the other issue members, can I ask that we adjourn at 20 past 12 for today? There is a meeting that has been called by the House chairpersons that will be dealing with the program and the bills that are before our committees. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson.
Is there an objection to that?
Most certainly.
Okay. Thank you very much. We can proceed, Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Can I see the document?
Happy New Year. And Happy New Year.
Thanks. Can the members see the document?
No.
Can you share again, Mr. Roberts? I took it off for the introductory part of the meeting. Can you share again? Thanks.
Sorry again. The document visible?
Yes, you can see it now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. The document before the committee is basically a reworked draft of the bill, taking into account the comments and responses, and also consultations that was done with certain persons. I'll discuss discuss the comments and responses in respect of which we had to consult with other persons in conjunction with the clauses of the bill. So I'm going to start off now. The first proposal relates to the definitions in the bill, and that is of adult person. In the comment and responses, there was indication by Professors Perry and Mayers regarding the fact that cannabis has adverse impact on brain development of young adults and obviously also children. I did indicate that other jurisdictions have got different age restrictions on the sharing or rather the commercialization of cannabis in the respective jurisdictions. I did refer the committee, amongst others, to applicable South African legislation, the Liquor Act and the Tobacco Act. Professor Taylor, in this regard.
Mr. Robertson, I think there is also a problem with your audio. We can't hear you properly.
Mr. Chairperson, it's probably our internet at work. I'm going over to a 3G card. Let's see how we can proceed on that basis.
So can you give you 2 minutes to make the change over?
Please.
Okay.
Thanks. Mr. Chairperson, let's try again. Can you hear me better now?
Much better.
Okay. Let me start again. The first proposal, the first provision of the bill that has been considered relates to the definition of adult person, which is currently stipulated or defined in the Act as a person who is 18 years or older. I did, or rather in the comments that were received, mainly from Professor Mayers, there has been an indication to the effect that cannabis affects brain development. Brain development continues until a person is 25 years of age. In the responses to the comments, the department did refer to other jurisdictions to indicate what is the age limit from which a person may use cannabis. Most of the foreign jurisdictions is either 18 years of age or 21 years of age. I did refer to applicable or comparable South African legislation, namely the Liquor Act and the Tobacco Controls Act, which currently still regard a person as an adult if he's 18 years or older. During consultations with Professor Perry, he reiterated what he said in his submissions, namely that cannabis adversely affect young adults up to 25 years of age. And I did request him to make a proposal regarding probable restriction that can be placed on persons that is allowed to use cannabis in terms of the bill. He indicated, firstly, that most states in the United States set a 20 years age limit. He also further indicated that if that is not acceptable, it may be restricted to 19 years of age. And he indicated that most people who have finished their school years by that age. So a proposal is made as an option in the bill that we can consider to up the age limit to 21 years of age, or as an alternative, we can probably also consider 19 years of age. I must indicate that similar amendments were proposed to the Liquor Act, namely to raise the age of persons that is allowed to use liquor to 21 years of age, and that legislation has never been finalized. So three options is before the committee. First, that we define adult person as is the position currently in most legislation as a person who is 18 years or older. Second option is to define it as a person 21 years or older. Third option, we may define it as an adult person who is 19 years or older. Going to continue relating to the definition of cannabis, the next definition that we considered.
Sorry, Mr. And Roberts, just hold it a bit. Members, I would like to be guided. Would you want to discuss as we move along, or you would just be listening to the responses? Then when we come in March, then we do the deliberations, or you would rather have some discussions taking place so that we are able to guide the drafters? Honorable Swart.
I hope you can hear me clearer now. I think we need to have discussions as we're going along, because there are a number of very important issues, and rather than have a total presentation, one might use the points that we are making. I see there are a number of hands up already on this particular issue, so maybe we can hear what other members say, but maybe we should discuss some of these very important issues as we are presenting.
Honorable Swart, your audio is still a bit problematic. I know you have strong views on this bill, so it will be important that we hear you properly. If you can try and attend to your audio. Is there any view that is contrary to what Honorable Swart has raised? I see none. So can we proceed along those lines? So can we have a discussion on the adult person, the age, whether it's 18, 19, or 21?
May I continue on that issue?
Yes, please.
Please just tell me if you can't hear me, then I will come back to the later stage and try an alternate device. I just, this does raise a critical issue that we have from the ACDP side raised our concerns about the whole impact on the bill and our broader opposition because of the impact on children, on adolescents, on society. Now, whilst I would welcome an increase up to 21 years, I don't know if this covers the challenges that one faces. And I think this is where the further consultations, deliberations must come in, because the approach of the department is that they do not deal with harm necessarily caused. That's dealt by other departments and other pieces of legislation, such as the Prevention of and Treatment of Act for Substance Abuse Act, that's other departments, but we as legislators have to take that into consideration when we pass in this bill, what is the impact on broader society. So I just want to flag that issue that we have, that is one of the main reasons for our strong views on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Stuart.
Could you hear me clearly, Chair?
Yes, we did. I did, but with a lot of strain.
Okay.
Yes. So if I understand you correctly, Mr. Honorable Swart, you are saying that you have those concerns, but for now, with respect to this discussion on the adult person, you would settle for 21 years.
Yes, with those other concerns. Thank you.
Yes, and then the other concerns will be discussed as we deliberate on the bill. I think as we go down, I think there are other areas that we'll try and raise those issues, of which I think we would need to come back to some of the concerns that you have raised so that we check if there are any responses. Members, there is a suggestion of 21.
Chair.
Oh, Honorable Yako, it's a pleasure to see you back.
I think with regards to this discussion, 18 seems to be what in South Africa is an adult age. So I'm not sure if we should oscillate between 21 and 18. But to me, 18 seems to be a standard age, and it would be strange for me to deviate from that.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Yako. Other members?
Hey.
Honorable Horn?
I don't know whether the right hand function is not shown, showing at your side.
I see your hand now.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Chair. Yeah, look, firstly, I think in terms of the way this is phrased, I think we must be careful in the sense that the Honourable Yaku, let me say this. I think the Honourable Yaku is quite correct in that I think it's now settled in South Africa that you are deemed to be an adult at the age of 18. So therefore, if we are then to consider a proposal to use an increased age of 21 years, I don't think it should be done in a way that where we define an adult person to be a person of 21 years. I think then the whole way in which it is phrased will have to be redrafted. So that's the first issue. The second issue on a matter of of ultimately deciding what is the way forward, I want to raise the issue of whether we should be guided in this sense by a single input. So it is, in saying that, I'm not downplaying the value of the input of the professor who said, but the one thing this parliament should consider is the fact that brain function and capability is developed until the age of 25, and therefore one should consider whether lawful usage of cannabis should be allowed before that. But for us to place ultimately a reliance on a single input in this regard, I would find problematic. So I don't know whether the department in preparing responses were able to look into the scientific views of others in order to guide us. But and if not, I don't know what the way forward is, whether we should ultimately then from our side source other views. But if the whole issue of developmental capacity and the impact of cannabis use is going to be the yardstick by which we approach this, I think we should trust science as it stands rather than one opinion. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Swart. Are there any other views before I allow Mr. Robert to respond?
Yes, please, Chair, my hand is up.
Oh, okay, Honorable Regenbach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I'm partially covered by Honorable Horn. I agree fully that we won't be able to define an adult as somebody older than 18, because an adult is already defined as 18 and older. And I do really want to align myself with the view that I think we need more in-depth research about the effects and brain development before we just take a sort of a decision almost in limbo about it. So I'm certainly not disparaging the information that we have nor the source thereof, but I do think that we need to cover that a whole lot more effectively before we take a decision like that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Members, you should bear with me. It's difficult for me to see your hands because of the slides. Is there any member who has raised his or her hand?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sure.
Honorable Janji, is it Honorable Janji?
No, Chair. This is Debo Khatlopani from the Cannabis Trade Association, Chair.
No, this the time for public hearings is now over. People who are allowed to speak during this process is members of Parliament.
I wasn't aware of that, Chair. But thank you for the clarification.
No, thank you very much, Mr. Khatlopani.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. But you still have the opportunity to raise your issues when the bill goes to the NCOP. Public hearings are going to be invited again. Thank you. Any other views, members? Okay. Mr. Robertson?
Chair.
Honorable Janji?
No, Chair. I support the colleagues so that we're on the side of caution on this matter, that more in-depth work be done, and because there's got to be very good reasons why you would ignore 18 and go to 21 in the definition of this adulthood. So I think as a committee, we'll be better off to give ourselves time and get a proper definition of this, which is not one-dimensional in its nature. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Janji. Mr. Roberts, I think the direction from the members is quite clear. Any preliminary responses before you go back to work on this issue? Take into consideration what has been raised by members.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson.
During our discussions with Professor Perry, he did indicate that he will make new research available that was done in America regarding the impact of cannabis on the brain development on young persons. So I'm awaiting that response. I can probably not take it further at this stage. The second definition to be considered relates to the definition of cannabis.
Personally, I would have a bit of a problem that you are going to be relying still on one person to give you a research that, I mean, quite clearly, she will give you a research that favors her worldview. I do think that you should consider a wide range of research on this issue, not the person who has advanced a particular view, and then you just rely on that one to say she must further give you further evidence or further research. Mr. Robertson?
I'm sorry, it's noted. I do think research is quite important since America is one of its research that was conducted in America. So it is research that is independent from Professor Perry. I also do think that it's probably the only research that was conducted. There are views available on the internet regarding the impact of cannabis on young persons, but it's not a scientific and research document. So that is probably the only document. My view, on the other hand, is as a provisional view, is to the effect that not all in South Africa is 18 years of age, and we shouldn't likely deviate from the age of adulthood that is set by other legislation. I will consider other inputs as well as the research that Professor Perry will give to me, and I will go broader if I can and make any recommendation in this regard. Going further then, the next definition to be considered is that of cannabis. Two aspects that is addressed in the new redrafted definition. The first is the definition that cannabis consists out of flowering or fruiting tops and leaves of a cannabis plant. The proposed option here omit leaves from paragraph A of that definition. And that is mainly due to the fact that leaves only contain trace elements of THC. A drug effect on a person. So I would propose that we omit leaves from the definition of cannabis in paragraph A. I can also refer the committee members, amongst others, to the commentary on the 1961 Single Convention on Narcotic Drugs, where it actually indicates that leaves should not form part of a definition of cannabis in that convention. And that's mainly also on the basis that it contains minimal amounts of THC. The second amendment to the definition of cannabis that is proposed relates to paragraph B, and that is in relation to a substance. Comments were previously raised that the department should consider a minimum amount what the substance should contain. And that's obviously it's quite relevant to, amongst others, the offences in Section 5 that criminalise the consumption of cannabis in a private place, and also in relation to the offences that is created in Clause 6 that deals with the administration of cannabis to a minor. And to determine a appropriate amount of THC is quite problematic in this instance. If one look at the regulations made in terms of the Medicines Act, one will see that the 2020 regulations amend Schedule 6 of the Medicines Act to more or less indicate that it excludes, THC excludes cannabis containing 0.001% THC or less if it's for, in terms of a product that is used by an adult person. In respect of raw plant material and processed products that's manufactured for non-adult use, a limit of 0.2% THC is specified in the product. My submission is that 0.1%, or rather 0.001% restriction in that regulation is unworkable for purposes of this act. That is more or less, was indicated that it only contained trace amounts of THC. It's further submitted that the 0.2% quantity of THC can more readily be used in terms of that, the definition in terms of this bill. To quantify what is a THC product, one must also take into account that cannabis is regulated here mainly for private purposes. It's probably more probably better to specify a quantity of THC, but one must take into account that if hemp regulations or legislation is to be enacted, this provision may impact on that. Specify a quantity of up to 0.5% in this regard. So that is the amendments to the definition of cannabis proposed to the committee as a second option. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any views, members?
I didn't quite understand Mr. Roberts where he referred to the 0.2% as being unworkable. I'd like clarity, because that obviously relates to the challenge, as you point out in your note about hemp and South African conditions for hemp, where the 0.2% might be too low considering South African conditions as opposed to other conditions. Can I just have greater clarity? Are you suggesting 0.2%, or are you saying it is unworkable, as many other members in the industry of in the hemp industry have said, 0.2% is unworkable?
Thank you, Honourable Swart. Any other view?
Chair, it's Werner Horn speaking.
Honourable Horn.
Yeah, Chair, I would just like Mr. Roberts to comment, and I know it is something that we as a committee has been acutely aware of, and that is the fact that this bill is on the one hand the product of a
constitutional court judgment and therefore has this narrow focus of regulating the private use of cannabis in South Africa. And then we, on the other hand, were acutely aware during the public participation process that parallel to that, there's this dire need for wholesale regulation of the cannabis industry. And now, luckily, we know from SONAR that is a process that will be unfolding. So I would just like Mr. Roberts to also give some guidance and advice as to what extent does this definition speak strictly to us then in adopting this bill, hopefully one day, sticking to the brief received by the Constitutional Court, and to what extent does this also then go a bit further and talk about regulation issues in general, and whether the definition as it now stands is necessary by the Constitutional Court judgment. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Horn. Any other member? Mr. Robertson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. First, in relation to Mr. Swart, the questions that he raised, if the 0.001% restriction is completely unworkable, that's trace elements. Regarding the 0.2% quantity limitation, one must remember that, amongst others, in the bill, there is offences that indicate a person may not consume cannabis in a public place. One must also take into account that most cannabis oils that this currently sold rotation in them.
Mr. Robertson? Yes. Can you change your device? We are struggling to hear you.
Give me a minute.
Okay.
Mr. Chairperson, is it better?
Yes, better.
Start again. I did indicate the 0.001% THC limitation is unworkable. That is mainly anything that contains a trace amount of THC. The 0.10 quantity limitation, it will amount to a prohibition in terms of the Medicines Act, since it cannot be used for by a person. It cannot be consumed by them. Further, 0.2% THC also emanates from an amendment in the to the 1961 Convention. The substance containing 0.2% THC should be excluded from international control. The unworkability of the 0.2% THC in the context of the bill is that the aims of the bill is mainly to regulate personal use of a substance containing THC. And one can actually ask, how much must be consumed by a person to get on a cannabis high? And I just indicate that one can probably consider 0.5% THC limitation in this regard, since it more or less tried to address a substance that has got a drug effect. So unworkability in this context mainly relates to the aims, what the definition seeks to achieve in the context of the bill. I must admit, yes, insofar as it relates to the offences relating to children, 0.2% THC limitation should be considered, but for purposes of Clause 5, it should probably be increased to a higher limitation in respect of that offence. Regarding the question of Mr. Horn, I couldn't hear everything that he asked, so I just want to ask him to repeat it, please. Mr. Horn?
I think after Mr. Horn, Honorable Jayla would like to also make a contribution.
Yeah. Now, I was asking Mr. Roberts to what extent this definition is necessitated by the purpose of this bill, and that's to allow for the lawful private use of cannabis, and to what extent does it possibly go a bit further into the terrain of regulating the cannabis industry, something which we were quite aware during the public participation, which is a necessity, and which from SONA we know will be undertaken now, if not by this department, by other departments. So if you could just advise that this definition is strictly necessary for the purposes of this bill and do not go a bit further. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Jala.
Chair, I think earlier I made a contribution when I was covered that more research would be done and then we'll get more opinions on this matter. For now, I'm still covered, Chair. It was earlier when I wanted to make a contribution. Thank you.
My apologies, Honorable Jala. I did not see your hands, and apologies. Mr. Robertson?
Thank you, Mr. Jefferson. Regarding the open 2%, the bill currently specifies in relation to hemp that it must be a plant containing a percentage of THC that is specified by other legislation that regulates hemp. If one looks at, amongst others, New Zealand legislation, Australia legislation in respect of hemp, one will see that a higher amount of THC has been determined in respect of hemp. I think in some Australian jurisdictions, it's up to 1% THC. Regarding the possible impact may have on other legislation that regulates commercialization, it's mainly to do the effect that it provides for a limit on any cannabis product containing THC. It may not be very workable in terms of commercialization, where one actually do sell a product that must contain THC to get a drug high. So it's just that it may be considered as a limitation. Bill on future developments on cannabis. It is correct that the bill is an interim measure. It can be amended at a later stage by other legislation. And even for purposes of the bill, we try to regulate the harmful effects of THC. And to that extent, a 0.2% limitation, one may well ask the question, what effect can such a substance induce on a person? So that's mainly my response. Thanks.
Thank you. Are you clarified, Honorable Horn?
No, whilst I must admit I'm in no way an expert, I do think I followed. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. We are not going to be making definite positions for now. I think members are going to reflect on what has been said. And then when we come back on the 8th or 9th, we will start to deliberate. I think members would have applied themselves. Can we proceed to the next one?
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. The next definition is that of cannabis plant. There's no option proposed. I just want to point out that the flowers and fruiting tops that actually do contain THC is mainly produced by a female plant. It's the definition of cannabis plant cannot be drafted in a manner that indicate that it only relates to a female cannabis plant due to the fact that there are instances where there is plants that contain both male and female flowers. So it's mainly just an explanation to indicate why cannabis plant has not been defined in relation to a female cannabis plant. Then the next definition is that of child. My submission is that amendments to this definition can be considered at a later stage if we clarify the allowable age limit under which a person may consume and use cannabis. Regarding the definition of commercial quantity, an option is proposed that mainly clarifies the definition further in relation to the trafficable quantity definition. And it is the amendments that is proposed to this definition indicates that it is the prescribed quantity in column 3 and any quantity in the dried cannabis is the following definition to which an additional or option is proposed. And the new definition is to remove leaves from dried cannabis. And that is as a result of what was discussed previously, namely that leaves contain minute amounts of THC only. There's also a proposal that the definition of fresh cannabis should be amended, then to exclude leaves from that definition. Regarding the definition of immature cannabis plant, it is currently defined that it is a plant that is taller than 15 centimeters or wider than 15 centimeters. And it was indicated previously by the committee that this is an workable indicator. And I did indicate previously the height and width indicator was there to distinguish it from an immature cannabis plant. I did revise the definition, and it's my submission that this indicator of 15 centimeters may be removed from the definition of mature cannabis plant. I will further deal with this definition where I deal with the definition of a seedling.
Members, any comment on this one? You can proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Although the current definition of seedling still contains the 15-centimeter indicator to distinguish it from an immature cannabis plant, it's my submission that it can be increased to at least 30 centimeters. This is necessary due to the fact that the person that possesses seedlings does not possess an immature cannabis plant. And there's different to seedlings and immature cannabis plants. Although the current definition do specify 15 centimeters be amended, or rather it be extended to at least 30 centimeters. In relation to an immature cannabis plant, there is a need for this differentiation. The remainder of the definition stays the same, especially that it must be a non-flowering cannabis plant to qualify a seedling from an immature cannabis plant. And in most instances, a 30-centimeter cannabis plant will not be flowering. And even if a person do cultivate it, mainly in enclosure, where they can grow or produce flowers at the 30-centimeter height, it's adequately covered by the fact that it must be a non-flowering cannabis plant, meaning not containing cannabis that can induce a drug effect. Thank you.
I don't see any hands.
I'll continue.
So the decision that you require there is between 15 and 30 centimeters.
That's correct, and I will propose that it rather be increased to 30 centimeters. Regarding the width, I must further explain that it's possible to cultivate a cannabis plant that grows similar to, amongst others, a pumpkin or other ranking plant. The next definition to be considered is the option to smoke. In the comment and responses, there was an indication that the definition of smoke do not cover or doesn't cover vaping. And the definition is mainly amended to include or rather to provide for vaping, which is covered by paragraph B, which specify it as to inhale or exhale vapor or aerosol of a cannabis produced by a vaping device, or holding or otherwise having control of a vaping device producing vapor or aerosol. Thank you. Can I continue?
Yeah, proceed.
Next definition is the option to trafficable quantity. The amendments is mainly to clarify that definition further in relation to a commercial quantity. Definitions to be inserted. We did not take this into account. It has not been inserted in the bill. Regarding subclause 2, subclause 2 provides for authorization I'm a rich person, cannabis plants or cannabis product, or otherwise cultivate cannabis plants. There's mainly a discussion regarding commercialization that is given here. And the committee is probably aware that various commentators did propose commercialization. I can also even refer to Professors Parry and Mayer that indicate that the current services available to persons that is a cannabis addict is actually dwindling. There's not enough resources available. There's a need for public education regarding the harms of cannabis. And there's a need for improved population monitoring to deal with the associated harms of cannabis. I can also refer to the comment of the South African Medical Association to the effect that they actually caution South Africa regarding ongoing decriminalization, but they also urges then that there should be available resources to cater for treatment and prevention and harm reduction in respect of cannabis, in this context mainly, rather drugs, in this context mainly cannabis. I can also refer the committee to the comments of various commentators who indicated that the practical implementation of the bill may have certain shortcomings, and it relates mainly to the policing thereof. The committee was briefed about cannabis master plan that supports commercialization of both cannabis and hemp. And there has been documents were at a previous stage was made available to the committee that discusses the various models of cannabis regulation. And I did indicate that Canada, Uruguay, and amongst others, various states in the United States implemented a commercial model for cannabis regulation. And the reasons for that model is mainly that the current regime to control drugs is not very effective. And other assumptions on which such a model for cannabis regulation were implemented, amongst others, that many persons who consume cannabis do not self-cultivate, but buy it on a black market. And that in turn promotes to illegal cultivation, illegal black markets, organized crime, distribution of cannabis to children, since it's mainly unregulated. The distributors of cannabis use children to deal in cannabis. In many instances, cannabis is distributed that is laced with harmful substances. There's various other types of criminal conduct that goes with dealing in drugs on a black market. Further assumption that they use to substantiate their decision, amongst others, is that prohibition mainly enrich criminal organizations, and it places substantial financial burden on the state to deal with the harmful effects of cannabis. And there's no pro quid pro to deal with that. And they also did indicate that a commercial model has the potential to ensure that many illegal activities are curbed, also makes it less profitable for criminals to deal with cannabis, It ensures a product that is safe. It ensures that the proceeds that are obtained through illegal selling of cannabis are diverted from criminals, mainly to government, to deal with the harmful effects of cannabis. They did indicate that the commercial model ensures that statistics of the extent of cannabis consumption are available to government, who can then evaluate that and implement appropriate responses to the harms of cannabis. And they also indicate that commercial model make it easier for government to implement certain measures to deal with harm reduction. The further assumption is that it actually commercialization will provide for job creation and it will stimulate the economy. Further assumption was that the criminal has no right to interfere with the person's behavior if it doesn't cause harm to another. They did indicate that the current regulatory measure to deal with cannabis regulation, where it relates to prohibition, actually just ensures that more funds are obtained by criminal organizations. And obviously to address drugs under a prohibition system requires substantial financial resources, and that can also probably be set in terms of the bill. If the bill is to be enforced in police, it will require substantial resources. They did indicate that cannabis is a soft drug and should not be subject to the same harsh control measures currently imposed by the drug conventions. And it's my submission that if a commercial model for cannabis regulation in South Africa is implemented, it can be justified on similar grounds as that. I'm not going to go or specify each and every contention in that regard. But I must indicate that one of the big issues here is our obligations in terms of the international drug control regime. Currently, previously in the committee, I did indicate that the current bill is not an appropriate instrument to deal with cannabis legalization in the context of a commercial model. But there is a possibility that the bill can be amended to an extent that ensures that regulations may be made to regulate cannabis commercialization in terms of the bill through subordinate legislation. I must, however, indicate that we do require the buy-in of other appropriate departments, amongst others, the Department of Trade and Industry, Department of Social Development, Department of Health, and Department of Agriculture, if this is considered as an option to implement cannabis commercialization. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Robertson. Any comments, members? Honorable Swart, are you covered?
There.
Honorable Juan?
Well, the Honorable Swart is strangely silent. If I may, I think
that the point that this bill is not suitable to even on a temporary or interim basis regulate the commercialization of cannabis or the industry. I think that point is well made, and that ultimately was the sense I formed while listening to the different views of those who presented during the public participation phase, and while not discounting the dire need for regulation, the reality is that this bill, in my view, is not the vehicle. We now have the announcement that it is on its way. So looking towards that very last paragraph in which Mr. Roberts suggests that maybe as a stopgap measure, regulations could be used to enable something. The difficulty I'm having with that is that the public participation just showed how complex this whole issue is, and that any attempt to, on an interim basis, allow for commercialization through regulations may ultimately be counterproductive. So whilst having a lot of sympathy for those who are looking towards Parliament to embark on this overdue process of regulation, ultimately I must say that I think ours at this stage is to stick to the narrow purpose of the bill based on the Constitutional Court judgment. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Horn. Any other hands? Mr. Robertson? Mr. Robertson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. The next paragraph relates to a call. Mr. Chairperson, can you hear me?
No, maybe you can change your process again.
Is it better now? Hello? Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I continue then, and that relates, next clause is quantities for personal use by adult. The only amendment that's proposed to the current provision relates to subclause 3 and the clause do not provide or give guidance for a time period within which it may be exchanged. And previously I did indicate that the exchange under this sub-clause is per occasion, and the amendment mainly addressed this aspect by inserting the word, or other words, per occasion in subclause 3. A more extensive amendment to clause 2 relates to self-medication and requirements in excess of prescribed quantities. This is where a person wishes to self-medicate and probably require a quantity of cannabis plants that exceed the prescribed quantity. The new proposed subclause 4 provides for self-medication and to the prescribed quantities. And it provides that adult person who has been issued with a certificate by an authorized person in which it is certified that he or she is a person who requires palliation or is a person that suffers from a moderate or severe chronic debilitating physical or mental health condition and to attempt to self-medicate, both for personal use, cultivate, obviously, again, prescribe quantities of cannabis plants, may possess a prescribed quantity in a public place, and possess, and that quantity is in excess of the current prescribed quantities. It further provides that an adult person who is a person that requires palliation or suffers from an illness may also obtain quantities of cannabis without consideration that exceeds the prescribed quantities, and the criminalization in subsection 3 would also not apply to the other adult person who furnish or give that give that quantities that exceeds the prescribed quantities to such an adult person. Further amendment is mainly to the effect that an adult person in subsection, or rather paragraph A, may in private, in a public place, use cannabis. That's obviously seen as a measure to facilitate self-treatment. And the certificate that must be issued must be in a prescribed form and contain the prescribed information. Mr. Tibbetson, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
D provides that the certificate is, okay. Paragraph D provides for a certificate with prescribed information that needs to be issued, and amendments to the regulation enabling provision provides for the making of such regulations in conjunction with the Cabinet Minister of Health. To clarify it further, there's definitions in the current provision who defines who is the authorized person, and that's a psychiatrist. Contains a new definition in private use to provide or facilitate self-medication of a person. And that definition indicates that in private use means to consume cannabis in a manner that conceals it from public view. And you can even smoke cannabis in a public place in contravention of Section 5.1 and other prohibitions in Section 5.2-5. But it must be in a place that is concealed from public view, and the prohibitions that is contained in clauses 5.2-5 is still applicable to it. which actually restricted to certain places. You cannot smoke it in the near an adult person or a child or at such a place that may cause hindrance to other persons. There's a definition of person who requires palliation, and it's defined as a person when of an authorized person as an advanced precursor by the end of the definition of self-medicating cannabis in order to palliate pain or suffering of a person that requires palliation, and in respect of an adult person who suffers from a chronic illness to treat or mitigate the physical or mental conditions or the symptoms thereof. So that is the new option that is proposed. And as indicated, there is consequential amendments that needs to be affected. That's mainly in Schedule C to prescribe quantities for purposes of this clause. I did indicate the possible prescribed quantities that may be considered. I'm not going to go through it. There's also a need for amendments to Clause 3, 4, and 5, and obviously the amendment to Clause 9 to provide for regulations pertaining to the certificate. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Robertson. Any comments, members? Ma'am, can we have a 10-minute break, comfort break, until 11 o'clock? And can you use that time, Mr. Roberts, to deal with your gadgets? Because sometimes we struggle to hear you.
Mr. Chairperson, I'll try to deal with it. Thank you.
Can you come back at 11? Thank you.
All right.
Welcome back. Let us proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I hope it's better.
Yes, it's better now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Clause 3 of the bill mainly deals with cultivation offences. Amendments to this clause mainly emanates from comments that the penalties that may be imposed in terms of the bill in respect of certain contraventions of the Act is extremely harsh. A further amendment that is affected to this clause relates to the fact that no flowering cannabis plants may be shared between adult persons. The First Amendment relates to subclause 1, and that is in relation to paragraph A, where the class of penalty that may be imposed is restricted to a class D penalty or offence. Paragraph B is further amended to provide that a contravention of a trafficable quantity of cannabis plants will only emanate to a class C offence. In respect of a commercial quantity of cannabis plants, the current offence classification, namely a class A offence, is being maintained. In the schedule to the bill, there's also certain amendments to accommodate this aspect, which I will discuss later on, I think, when we do deal with that. But in respect of a commercial quantity, the prescribed limit is still the equivalent of 10 flowering cannabis plants in respect of a person. I'm going to stop there. Thanks.
Thank you. Members, any comments or questions? No, can you proceed?
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. The second amendment relates to subclause 2, and the clause is amended to take out the provisions that requires that a person must take reasonable measures to ensure that cannabis plants is inaccessible to a child. That is in relation to comments that it's better to prescribe that by regulation. So the amendment to subclause 2 therefore requires that a person who cultivates cannabis plants must comply with the requirements and standards prescribed by regulation. Thank you.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Subclause 4 is amended, and that deals with the criminalization where a person exchange without remuneration cannabis plants to another person. Paragraph A is amended to make the class D offense where a person exceeds the prescribed quantity. In respect of a trafficable quantity, it's now degraded to rather made a class C offense. And in respect of a commercial quantity of cannabis plants, the current classification as a class A offense is being maintained. There is also some amendments to the schedule, which make the gap between a trafficable quantity and a commercial quantity higher. I'm going to proceed further. Option 5 deals with the position in a private place, in a public place of certain cannabis plants. And the class A offense, which deals with the possession in a public place of cannabis plant that exceeds a prescribed quantity, is guilty of a class D offense. So it has been classified as a low offence. The further amendment that must be considered in this regard is, I did previously indicate that the sharing of flowering cannabis plants is no longer allowed inter se between adult persons. So the provision is further amended to include immature cannabis plants in the various paragraphs thereof. In respect of paragraph B, trafical quantity of immature cannabis plants is lowered to a class C offence, and commercial quantity of immature cannabis plants remains a class A offence. Other amendment relates to subclause 6, and that deal with the current offence that provides that the person who deals in immature cannabis plants is guilty of offence, which is now prescribed as a class D offence. New offences that has been added to the subclause is that of a trafical quantity of immature cannabis plants, which is a class C offence, and a commercial quantity of immature cannabis plants, which is a class A offence. And the main aim thereof is to soften the harsh penalties that may be imposed in terms of this bill. There is certain consequential amendments that still needs to be affected to this clause, and that deals with the exchange of flowering cannabis plants and the position in a public place of flowering cannabis plants, and they also which also requires certain amendments to Schedule 4 to the bill. That will be presented at a later stage to the committee. I'll finish with this clause. Next clause is cannabis offences. That is in Clause 4 of the bill. The clause mainly remains the same. The only amendment that is affected thereto is in respect of subclause 3, which removes paragraph A from the clause provides for offence if a person fails to store cannabis in a secure place inaccessible to a child. In the response to comments that were received, it was proposed that the storing of cannabis in a secure place inaccessible to a child should be regulated by regulation. And the amendment mainly gives effect to that comment. I'll finish with this clause. Can I proceed? Clause 5 deals with smoking and consumption offences. Subclause 1 criminalises the smoking or consumption of cannabis in a public place. There were comments to the effect that we need to specify the minimum quantity of THC that a cannabis product must contain, and it's my submission that the amended definition of cannabis caters for this. So it's probably not necessary to specify the consumption of cannabis products in excess of a certain amount of THC. That's the only amendment to this clause. If there's no comment, I'll proceed to the next provision. 6 deals with offences involving a child. During the public consultation process, or rather when we presented the comment and responses to the committee, a question was raised on the effect of cannabis on pregnant women and the unborn child. And we were requested to submit certain research in this regard to the committee. The department made the internet search, and obviously there were available articles in this regard. I can, amongst others, refer to marijuana use in pregnancy, and that is by Dr. Rebecca Thompson, Catherine de Jong, and Jamil Lowe. But the conclusion that was reached by the learned authors is to the effect that the research is currently incomplete, and it's not, they didn't make a scientific evaluation of the effects of cannabis on pregnant women or a child, unborn child. There's also the article named Cannabis Used During Pregnancy, Outcomes and Psychiatric Disorders. That was conducted, amongst others, by Carlos Ronquero. Again, the finding was that there's not available information in this regard. But they did indicate that cannabis may have some effects on a child or a fetus. And the effects is mainly symptoms of ADHD. But again, I must indicate that the research is rather inconclusive. There is also certain information that was obtained that, amongst others, indicates that it may affect folic acid uptake, cellular growth, and the neural development of the fetus. But again, this is not based on verifiable scientific information. Most other information that we viewed indicates that the consumption of cannabis during pregnancy mainly has the same results as that of alcohol and or tobacco if used by a pregnant woman. So I can provide the information that was obtained, but I did indicate that the final finding is that it is inconclusive and further research needs to be undertaken in this regard. Regarding the offences under...
Before you proceed, Mr. Roberts, there is a hand, Honourable Nivo Trachans and Honourable Steve Swart. That order.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to everyone, and good morning to Mr. Roberts, sir. I just want to know, in the research that you have found, which is inconclusive, where is it from? Which countries is it from? Because I would like to know that if any of the researchers did any of the research in South Africa. So if you could just indicate where the researchers were, where it's from. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honourable Sark.
Thank you, Chair. I hope you can hear me clearer. I've changed my device, but I do also want to ask about the research. We know the Department of Health issued, when they made a presentation, they highlighted pregnancy as one of the concerns with the usage of cannabis. So I would ask you also to consult the Department of Health. And when you say that it seems to be the same as alcohol and tobacco, we are all aware of the fetal alcohol abuse syndrome. So I think that when to say it's inconclusive, I think we need to be very cautious when we are dealing with this issue. And similar to the other requests, I think we need more research done, and I would like a further consultation with the Department of Health on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Robertson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. The information or the articles that they refer to is mainly from foreign jurisdictions. There is available, or some of the information mainly relates to the United States. Current research could be obtained that specifically relates to South Africa and what. The big problem is, as indicated in the various articles to which I referred to, is to the extent that cannabis has only recently been legalized in that countries, and no specific scientific research were conducted in this regard. And yes, we will consult further with the Department of Health regarding this aspect. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further hands on this matter before we proceed? You can proceed, Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. The next amendment relates to paragraph B of subclause 1. And the main aim is to substitute the expression possess with cultivate. I think in the context of the clause, it should be cultivate, namely that the child may assist with the cultivation of cannabis plants, which a guardian or child may lawfully cultivate. If you say possess, it may also refer to unlawful cultivation for birth, or rather, let's just say unlawful cultivation, amongst others in a private place. So if we say lawfully cultivate, it addresses any concerns that or interpretational problems in this regard. The next clause that is discussed relates to the penalties that may be imposed, and that's clause 7. The First Amendment is a correction that is effect to that clause. In a printed bill, it still refers to subclause 1, and there's only one clause. The option that is proposed is to lower the sentences which may be imposed, and that is in response to the comment and responses which indicate that the conduct in respect of which penalties may be imposed is extremely harsh. So the option proposed lowers the penalty for a Class A offence from 15 years to 10 years, Class B offence from 6 years to 5 years, the Class C offence from 4 years to 2 years, the Class D offence from 2 years to 12 months. And obviously a court may, in respect of all this class's offences, decide not to impose imprisonment, but impose a fine, or a court can impose both such imprisonment and such fines. We were requested to meet with Justice Cameron regarding his view that imprisonment should not be imposed in respect of non-serious offences. I must admit the department has not consulted with the Justice Cameron. But obviously, and I did indicate previously, insofar as it relates to addiction offences in any legislation, the department is in the process to finalise legislation which will actually ensure that imprisonment cannot be imposed in respect of a person that abuse any drug, and the type of conversion is proposed in terms of which the person should, under certain circumstances, be sent for rehabilitation in terms of applicable legislation. In terms of the South African law in general, one of the principles of sentencing is that imprisonment should in most instances only be imposed as a last resort. And it has already been established that the seriousness of offence is one of the factors that can or should be taken into account when determining appropriate sentencing for a contravention in terms of the legislation. And obviously, there are certain factors that needs to be taken into account to determine appropriate sentence. And this, amongst others, and it includes the circumstances of the relevant person that was convicted of an offence, and also the perceptions of society, and also the seriousness of the offence, and to what extent the offence affect society as a whole. I don't think we've got a problem with that. The only problem is we did not consult with Justice Cameron. That was mainly due to the fact that I was unavailable for a certain period of time. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments, members?
Swart, your chair.
Honourable Swart.
No, thank you. I think that the reduction in some of these sentences is to be supported. I would just like to ask whether restorative justice provisions would apply. We know that the Helen case for children, it's, the court said it may not apply, but the NPA still has that inherent or jurisdiction to apply restorative justice. Would that also apply with some of the more minor offences? Yeah.
Did you hear that, Mr. Robertson? I was struggling to hear.
Mr. Chairperson, I heard something about the LM judgment and the National Prosecuting Authority still support, and then it's, I didn't hear anything else.
The restorative justice processes, if possible.
All right, thank you, Mr. Swart. Regarding the LM and the others judgment, the court found that Section 4B of the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act is unconstitutional to the extent that it creates, or rather is unconstitutional as a result of the Prince judgment, who excludes children from the reading. And that's the basis on which Section 4B and the cannabis legal dispensation emanating from the Prince judgment.
Mr. Robertson?
To minors. I did indicate previously during our discussions of the bill that various offences in the bill only pertain to an adult person. and does not apply to any children. However, in respect of more serious offences, and especially the smoking or consumption offences, and the provisions of the bill still applies to children. Amendments to the Child Justice Act is affected in the schedule to the bill to the effect that the offences in the bill that provides or criminalises the conduct of any person, if it applies to a child, should further be dealt with in terms of the amendment to Schedule 1 of the Child Justice Act. And that's mainly the offences in Sections 3, 6, 7 and 9, 5, 7 and 5 of the Cannabis Bill, which is catered for in this provision. And that is inserted in Schedule 1 of the Child Justice Act. The effect thereof is that a child cannot be arrested, he cannot be incarcerated, and other measures to deal with the child other than incarceration will apply in respect of a child. Obviously, in respect of the more serious type of offences, like dealing in cannabis, it is still applicable to a child under the Child Justice Act. No amendments were further affected to the schedule, and the conduct specified in Schedules 2 and 3 of the Child Justice Act will then apply to the more serious offences like dealing in cannabis. The LM judgment has not been certified yet by the Constitutional Court. We did prepare submissions in that regard, and it is submitted and is currently being dealt with by the Constitutional Justice in a regulatory environment. Restorative justice is difficult since it criminalised non-compliance with the standard in this regard that is set. And the standard aims to create or restrict the access to cannabis or the harms that may be conducted in respect of another person through a contravention of the regulatory measures. My submission is that the bill cannot provide for restorative justice in this regard. And that is probably as far as I can take it. Thank you.
Thank you. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. The next clause deals with the expungement of criminal records convicted of possession and use of cannabis offences. During the submissions, there were proposals that we should consider persons that were convicted of dealing in cannabis on a basis of a presumption. The amendments to this clause mainly relates or try to deal with the expungement of the conviction in dealing in cannabis under a presumption. I can refer the committee to, amongst others, Section 21 of the current, which, amongst others, as was pointed out by the commentators, containing a presumption that if a person possessed more than 115 grams of cannabis, it shall be deemed or rather presumed, until the contrary is proved, that such an accused dealt in such dacha or drug. Section 21A1 is not the only presumption in the Cannabis or in the Drugs Act that provides for a deemed provision of dealing in. I can refer, amongst others, to Section 21.1A3, although not relevant to Dacha. It is to the same extent that there's a deemed in, of dealing in a drug. There's also Section 21.1B and C of the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act. That is relevant to cannabis. And that relates where cannabis is found on cultivated land or where there was conveyance of cannabis. The person on that land or the person that conveyed or was in such a vehicle that conveyed cannabis is presumed to have dealt in cannabis unless the contrary is proved by the accused. These provisions were declared unconstitutional by the Constitutional Court. In the discussion, I do refer to the cases in which it was dealt with. So it's, there's probably a need to also cater for such offences. One of such offences, amongst others, relates to a drug where a person is within a specified place from a school. The amendments did require a renumbering of the clause. The current subclause 1 deals with the same aspects that is in the current printing bill, printed bill. Clause 2, or rather subclause 2, deals with the exemption of or expungement of a criminal record in respect of a presumption. And that relates, amongst others, to the previous abuse of the Parents Producing Substance and Rehabilitation Act and Drug Trafficking Act, and also similar legislation in self-governing territories before the constitution took effect. It does not provide for automatic expungement of a criminal record. A person must apply to have his criminal record expunged. There is also a criteria that is prescribed on which basis expungement must be granted in this regard. And that is mainly to the effect that there must be indication that the person was in the circumstances convicted of dealing in cannabis on the basis of the unconstitutional presumption that is contained in the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act. And that is contained in paragraph B. And the remainder of the clause mainly relates, stays the same. We also do address a comment that was provided by a commentator to the effect that in the current or the numbered clause C, the word applicant should be substituted with a person. And we do give effect to that comment and response. Thank you.
Proceed.
Clause 9 deals with regulations to be issued in terms of this bill. Paragraph F is amended to, amongst others, provide for a renumbering or a reference to the current clauses in Clause 8 after the amendment. That applies to paragraph F, G, and H. Another amendment to this clause relates to the self-medication proposal that was made, and it provides for regulations to prescribe the form and content of the certificate certifying that a person requires palliation or has a certain disease. The appeal amendment, the remainder of the amendments relates to the schedules of the Act, or of the Bill rather. Going to deal with Schedule 3, and that relates to prescribed quantities. I did indicate previously that we're not going to allow sharing between adult persons of a flowering cannabis plant. So the first amendment relates to paragraph E of that schedule, which now prescribes the quantity or class of two immature cannabis plants that may be shared, interstate, between adult persons. Also, with regard to paragraph G of Schedule 3, that relates to Section 235, amendment is proposed to the effect that no flowering cannabis plants may interstate be shared between adults, and be restricted to two immature cannabis plants. Schedule 4 has been amended to, amongst others, provide for a higher quantity if we deal with commercial quantities. And the first amendment relates to the quantity that is required, or rather it's referred to in Section 31C. And that is the cultivation in a private place of a commercial quantity of cannabis plants. It has been increased to 10 flowering cannabis plants. I know it was only 9, but we cannot make a substantial change in this regard, since it will amount to 20 non-flowering cannabis plants, but it is increased to 10 flowering cannabis plants. The commercial quantity, rather in respect of in respect of two, the amount is again extended to 20 flowering cannabis plants, or a cannabis plant equivalent, which amounts to 40 non-flowering cannabis plants. In respect of Section 34B, that relates to the sharing between adults, the trafficable quantity of 6 immature cannabis plants is now prescribed. Again, no flowering cannabis plants can be exchanged. And so the commercial quantity is increased to 15 immature cannabis plants. Due to the fact that we exclude immature cannabis plants from this provision, it is submitted that we can substantially increase the so-called trafficable quantity or commercial quantity in respect of non-flowering cannabis plants. So Paragraph 8 to D mainly provides for that. Paragraph E of that paragraph, that's Schedule 4, relates to conduct that's prescribed in Section 35B. And that relates to possession in a public place. Currently, it provides for two flowering cannabis plants or equivalent. It's increased to 6 immature cannabis plants. In relation to a commercial quantity, again, permitted amount of 15 immature cannabis plants is prescribed. In respect of Section 36A 2 and 3, that deals amongst others with
Mr. Robertson. Mr. Robertson, are you still there? Committee Secretary, can you phone him?
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Robertson?
Sorry. Can you hear me, Mr. Chairperson?
Yes, we can hear you. We lost you for some time.
Sorry. That relates... Okay, I'm currently at a new insertion as a result of the proposed Clause 3.6, which regulates cultivation offences. And the amendments to 3.6 that were affected or proposed relates to the dealing in cannabis plants. And we do propose that a limitation in respect of a trafficable quantity of 6 immature cannabis plants be inserted here. And in respect of a commercial quantity, 15 immature cannabis plants. I must point out that any person who deals in a flowering cannabis plant is guilty of a Class A offence. That remains. Regarding the cannabis offences, there's no amendments to the schedule. I did indicate previously, in respect of medicinal use, we probably need, or rather the quantities still need to be inserted in the schedule to cater for that. And that will be done when the bill is submitted again after this to the committee. Schedule 4, there's no amendments there too. And I did discuss the amendment to the Child Justice Act. That, to a large extent, includes the discussion of proposed options to the current bill. Previously, we were asked to address the committee on certain questions that were posed during the discussion of the comments and responses. The question we ask that we should clarify the expungement of criminal records of persons that was previously convicted of possession of cannabis, and it was asked whether there's a process currently in place to expunge criminal records for the use and possession of cannabis pending the finalization of this bill. Obviously, there is provisions in the Criminal Procedure Act that do provide for expungement of criminal record of a person. It provides that a 10-year period must be must expire, and then a person can make application that his criminal record be expunged. But currently, there's no other provision in any other law that could be used or can be used to expunge criminal records of persons that has been found guilty of an offence involving the use and possession of cannabis. The bill is an enabler to the expungement of criminal records. Question was raised, what would happen if a person is found in possession of cannabis during a roadblock? Obviously, the person, firstly, if it's possession in private, the offence of possession of cannabis in a place that is the public place and which is not concealed for public view will not apply. There's provisions in the bill that provide that if you transport cannabis, certain measures needs to be taken. It needs to be prescribed by regulation, amongst others, that it must be stored in a certain container. But if a person is found in possession of cannabis while he's in a motor vehicle, he will probably commit that offence. And the transportation requirements relating to cannabis is mainly provided for in subsection 6. Another person that does not comply with requirements or standards of transportation is guilty of an offence. So if a person is found in possession of, let's say, 5 grams of cannabis in his pocket, he will commit an offence. There was reference to the 0.2 THC level in hemp production. I did indicate previously that the bill currently leaves it open for other legislation to prescribe what the quantity should be in respect of hemp. I hope I did address everything else. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Robertson. And members, are there any comments after having heard the whole presentation about the bill, the responses to the bill? Mr. Honorable Engelbach, followed by Honorable Swart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I apologize. I have no desire to take the deliberation backwards, but from my perspective, I think there might be a problem in terms of the definition of THC and CBD compounds contained in cannabis, because I think this bill might have a contradiction with existing law, and I do not see anything dealing with that in this particular bill, and the law of interest here is obviously the Medicines and Related Substance Act of 1965. So I don't want to go and or belabor the point with details pertaining to THC and CBD, but I think that should this bill go forward and the relevant sections in the Medicines and the Related Substances Act stay in place, there's obviously a conflict in law. So I don't know, shouldn't this those particular sections be repealed before this bill takes into effect, or shouldn't this bill here deal with those specific contradictions in law and how to deal with them should and when these arise? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Engelbach, Honorable Sorek.
Chair, very briefly, I appreciate the hard work that's been gone into this so far. Obviously, from our perspective, we still have serious concerns,
particularly as highlighted by the health department, that we don't think have been properly addressed yet. It is a concern, and we will engage further to try to improve the bill, but our concerns and objections are on record. So we look forward to further deliberations. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Any further hands? Mr. Roberts, can you respond to Honorable Engelberg?
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I did refer previously to the amendments to Schedule 6 of the Medicines Act, which actually removed cannabis from Schedule, or rather THC, from Schedule 7 of the Medicines Act to Schedule 6, and to then specify what is included in Schedule 6 of that bill. The concern that we raised is probably in relation to the definition of a cannabis product. We indicate that cannabis product contains THC and CBD. I must point out that the applicability thereof is already qualified by subclause 1-2, which specify that the provisions of this act do not apply to any person who is permitted or authorized in terms of any other act of parliament to deal whatever or cultivate cannabis plants. So from a commercial perspective, if we approach it from the perspective of the distribution of medical or medicines that contain those elements, is already dealt with in terms of subclause 2. Other than that, one must remember that the Medicines Act has a limited application, and that Schedule 6 mainly relates to Section 22A, if I can remember correctly, of the Medicines Act, which amongst others provide that the person might certain medicines into 10 regulates, rather only possess medicine under in terms of the Medicines Act if he was issued with a prescription by a medical practitioner. My submission is that there is possibly not a conflict in this regard between the two pieces of legislation, unless it can be argued that a person may be prosecuted for an offence to the extent that he is in possession of, let's say, CBD in excess of the quantity prescribed in the Schedule to the Medicines Act, and that he therefore commit an offence as specified in the Medicines Act. Obviously, each and every law is subject to qualifications, that is in other legislation. The Medicines Act relates to the distribution and prescription of medicine. And to the extent that it's not medicine, a person who possesses possess cannabis or a CBD product in terms of this act will not per se commit an offense in terms of the Medicines Act. So that is a possible manner in how it can be approached. But we will again consider the provisions of the Medicines Act in relation to the bill. One must also take into account that Even in terms of the Medicines Act, Schedule 6, it already provides or excludes cannabis for private use that is possessed by adult person in terms of the Constitutional Court judgment. So that per se may create a conflict in that legislation itself. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Members, I would need your guidance. One, we had scheduled this briefing to last for 2 days, that is today and tomorrow. So we need to discuss, because I think we have done everything except the issue that we agreed that we will not deal with, that is the issue of the exemptions. But we have gone through the bill, all of it. So I would need to be guided as to what we should do tomorrow, because I think for now, Mr. Roberts says it's done. I think that is one issue. Secondly, my understanding of the discussion is that we are going to adopt this as a working document for our discussions on the 8th and 9th of March with the options that have been provided in the document. We're not adopting the bill, but just adopting the document as our working document that will guide our discussions. That some work has already been put into this document. So we are going to take this document as our working document for the next few days when we deliberate as the committee. Now, can I firstly, do we agree that we adopt this as a working as our working document to guide us for the purposes of deliberations?
Agree, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Secondly, Mr. Roberts, you need to do further research on that issue of 18 and 21, and consult with the Department of Health, also consult with Judge Cameron, and ensure that by the 8th of March, you have already concluded your engagements with the Rastafarian community on the exemptions. Is that our understanding, members?
Yes, Chair.
Thank you very much. I think now, can I be guided for tomorrow? What should we do? Because we are done. I was going to suggest if members will be comfortable that tomorrow we don't proceed with the bill, because we have comfortably covered the bill, that the research unit and the committee secretariat prepare that consolidated report of the oversight to both inland provinces and coastal provinces, that tomorrow we deal with the report. That is, they will present the report of the oversight and we process the report tomorrow. How is that, members?
Absolutely fine. Thank you.
Yes, if the reports are ready, yes, Chair.
Thank you. Yes. And in fact, it's researchers, committee secretariat, are you ready with the reports? Bonani?
Yes, good day, Chair. Yes, the drafts are ready, Chairperson. We just need to consolidate them. We'll send them out, I think, later on today.
And then tomorrow people are going to do presentations. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, members. Thank you, Mr. Roberts, for the work that you have done.
continue doing the good work. We will meet you on the 8th of March.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Just a question. The commercialization proposal, can I scrap it from the bill? If not, some guidance.
What about it?
I did indicate that enabling provision may be inserted in the bill to regulate this if there's no need to continue with this. And obviously, I don't need to draft amendments to accommodate that.
I think it's a question that was raised by Honorable Horn. Can I suggest that we don't take it out for now, that maybe we discuss it further when we deliberate on the 8th, then we can take it from there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson.
Is that in order, members?
I support that, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, members, for your input. And thank you to everybody who is on the virtual platform and those who are watching us from home. Thank you very much to the department, Mr. Robertson, for the hard work. And thank you for the people who continue to enrich the process through their input, their inputs. Let's meet on the 8th of March for the bill, for the purposes of the bill. But the committee is proceeding tomorrow to deal with the oversight reports and other internal matters.
Just my apologies. I'll be in the lockup for the budget tomorrow, so please note my apologies. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, no, that's fine. Honorable Janji, tomorrow are you in the section 16194, or you will be part of the meeting?
No, I'm here. We're doing it this afternoon.
Okay. No, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Janji. No, thank you very much, members. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Recording stopped.